Sarah, glad to have you back. How are you?
Hey, great. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Tell me about the counties and states that the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce encompasses.
Yeah, we are headquartered in the city of Detroit, but have members throughout 10 counties all over Southeast Michigan. So our main membership is really in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb, but we do have members scattered at the next ring of counties outside of that. We're interested, though, in what happens with the state government and the federal government, as well as local government in that whole area and all over the state. We're always looking out for our members, which are businesses, and how we can help them do better and grow in Michigan.
How many members do you have?
We have over 20,000 members and affiliates, which makes us the largest local chamber of commerce in the country. And so we are able to really speak on behalf of a great number of businesses.
Well, I got a little mad this morning when I started reading the paper as I saw the budget, and some of the budget cuts include education. We knew that they were coming. Almost 3% has been cut from education again when it comes to universities. And it's got me frustrated, and I just wanted to get your take. I know you're monitoring the budget hearings very closely. What's your take on what's happening?
Well, what's happening is what's been happening for the last several years, which is that Michigan isn't raising as much money as it used to for state government coffers. You know, because of the recession that we've been in, which evidently is now over, tax revenue has declined over the last several years. And so the state of Michigan and its public institutions, just like businesses and individuals all over Michigan, has had to find ways to tighten its belt. We have made suggestions that they engage in long-term cost-saving reforms, that they change how they do business in Michigan government so that they can save money rather than cut money out of those kinds of critical areas, such as education, as you identified, that citizens believe really deserve to be a high priority. Did you know we spend more money in the state on the Department of Corrections than we do on higher education? That's just not the top priority in most people's minds. And there are ways to streamline how we operate the Department of Corrections and make it more cost effective without just letting all the prisoners out on the street.
Well, Sarah, we sound like a broken record sometimes on this program when talking about doing business in the state of Michigan. It's well documented that Michigan is at the bottom of the list when it comes to attracting new businesses into the state. Business leaves Michigan. And I know all the doom and gloom stories kind of mask the good stories, but I don't want to talk about the good stories. I want to talk about why we're at the bottom, how this problem occurred over the years, and do you anticipate that changing with a new governor?
Well, we certainly have a great opportunity to make change with a new governor, over 50 new legislators in the State House of Representatives, and then a whole bunch of House members that are moving over to the State Senate, over 20 of them. And so state government will look very different in January. And we do have an opportunity to do that. One thing that we believe is a detriment to businesses moving into Michigan is our tax structure. We went a few years ago from the single business tax to the Michigan business tax, and it continued to have a tax that was different from any other state in the country. Our tax is one that's hard to figure out, that has a lot of problems with it, that small businesses grapple with, and we really need to take another look at that tax system. That's one thing. But there really is there's no silver bullet in how to fix Michigan to attract more business. We need to look at our regulatory structure, our job-killing rules. That's one thing we are hopeful a new governor and legislature will look at, is rolling back some rules that we think are a detriment to our businesses, and as well as just the sense that Michigan is a different place now. People are making less, as we're hearing, especially now from the census. They need to adjust to a new normal, and that will make Michigan a very cost-effective place over time, we believe, to help bring more businesses in. You know, it's the good side, and if there can be a good side to what's going on with our housing situation in Michigan right now, is that Michigan is very affordable for employees to move here. They can buy beautiful houses. much less expensively than they can in other places around the country for the most part, especially given the kinds of businesses that move here. So, yes, there's hope, and we've heard both gubernatorial candidates talk about the need for tax reform, and as a Detroit Regional Chamber, we're preparing for that right now by looking at the comments they've made and the plans they've laid out and how we might be able to best work those into the business community and how it can help us.
All right. You've made some great suggestions. People like you, organizations like yours, the media has been hammering at state legislators last year and the year before and the year before to make these changes. Why aren't they listening?
Well, we have actually made some progress. There has been significant reform made in state employee retirement as far as health care goes, and now the legislature is just finishing up a similar piece. Well, there was school employee retirement accomplished earlier this year. Today, the legislature will finish up a similar piece on state employee retirement, and that will overall create over $1 billion in savings long-term from public employee-related benefits. Also, the government has seen some savings in the Department of Corrections. They have moved forward with some of the reforms we suggested, and we're happy to see that. But they certainly need to do more. As Michigan's tax revenue hasn't kept up with the cost of government, they need to do more. So it's not like they haven't heard our calls for reform, but they haven't embraced it as quickly and moved as quickly with it as we'd like.
But those union cuts you talk about are affecting a lot of people, and when people are bringing home less, those unions, those state workers feel like they've given up enough and they can't afford to give up more. How would you react to that?
Well, we've asked them to give 3% towards their retiree health care. And I think if you asked your listeners in the private sector how much they're giving towards their health care, you would hear a very different number. And so we continually strive to bring public employee benefits and salary, for that matter, in line with private employees. There was a time when public employee benefits, and well, salary in particular, was less than generally the average in the private sector, and it was considered a public service to go work for your government, that you were giving back to the community. Now, those are some of the best jobs that can be had by people in this country. Those are the richest benefits, they're some of the best salaries, and we just don't think that there should be that big of a divide between the private sector and the public sector. There should be a generally very close average in those benefits and salary numbers.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Sarah Hubbard, who's the Senior Vice President of Government Relations for the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce. Sarah, a couple of times you've touched on corrections. And I find it interesting that to house a prisoner for a year and all that that encompasses, it costs $35,000. But in the state of Indiana, it just costs $25,000. I know you're not a corrections expert, but that's a big difference.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much of corrections experts we've become at the Detroit Regional Chamber in the last few years. Certainly, we can't run the Department of Corrections by any stretch, but we've done enough research to know that in Michigan, we spend on average about $500 million more per year than other states around the Great Lakes. And there are a lot of reasons for that. There are reasons because we have a higher overhead and cost structure. There are also reasons related to how we throw people in prison and how long they stay there on average and how many of them get sentenced to prison at what level. We tend to keep people in prison on average a year longer than those other states. Now, we're not calling, again, to just let everybody out of prison to save money, but we think there are certain places where it's worth bringing a sentencing commission back together to look and see if we are still where we need to be as far as sentencing people and how long they go to prison, and then also looking at our parole board and how soon they let prisoners out of prison once they're eligible for parole. We have something in Michigan called truth in sentencing, which requires people to serve their entire minimum sentence. But after that, they typically, if they had good behavior, are eligible for parole. And that's the time when the parole board needs to take a very close look at who really should be allowed a second chance and who should stay in prison, and there's an opportunity there to do some things differently. We've also looked at the supply chain in the Department of Corrections with the help of some of our members and how they can save money and how they deliver food service, how they deliver medical services, and there's great opportunity for savings just in those areas that don't have anything to do with how a prisoner is either, you know, being let out of prison or how long they're staying there. It's making their stay there a little bit cheaper by making sure prisons are operating in the most efficient manner possible.
How were your suggestions received?
Very well. The suggestions have been embraced by a number of those employees who oversee the corrections department. There are some who aren't all that excited about change. You know, it's just human nature. People don't like to change. They don't like outside people to come in and tell them how to do their job. But overall, we see the savings and we see this kind of opportunity being used within the department, at least some pilot projects that look pretty good going forward. And we think that those kinds of projects can really make a difference and that those kinds of projects can be used throughout state government. One thing the business and the private sector has been very good about is squeezing money out of the supply chain. And by that, I mean going to your suppliers and your supplier's suppliers and on down the line and finding ways to be more efficient, whether it's through standardization of parts, say, for automakers or reductions in inventory. You know, your listeners have probably heard the term just-in-time inventory, meaning parts aren't sitting out in a warehouse someplace rusting. They're going right from a semi into the factory, into your car, and to the dealer in an almost seamless way. That saves money, significant amounts of money over time. We think those kinds of concepts can be applied to state government as well. When they're purchasing different items for use by state employees or in the Department of Corrections or wherever it is, making those supply chains more efficient results in real savings of dollars.
Sarah, who is the chamber endorsing for governor?
We have endorsed Rick Snyder for governor. We also endorsed him in the primary for governor, and we're successful there and hope to be successful in November. His experience as a CEO, his background in business really resonates with our members, and they just think that he has the right mindset to come to Lansing and bring some of these reforms in a more aggressive way and really make changes. And we're very hopeful that he's successful in November and looking forward to working with him next year.
Sarah Hubbard is the Senior Vice President for Government Relations at the Detroit Regional Chamber. Sarah, every time I talk to you, I'm enlightened about so many things. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Anytime.